thank you that we are ministers of the new covenant, Lord. A covenant that is fashioned into the tablets of our heart. A covenant, O God, that will enable us, O God, to fulfill the purposes you have for us. We thank you that that covenant is being built into us. It is being matured into us, Lord. It is being brought alive in us, Lord, in a very powerful and wonderful way. There is a great deal you mean to manifest in each one of us. You are teaching us step by step and making us, O God, vessels for your own glory. We want to thank you. We want to bless you for what you have purposed in each one of our lives. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will teach us step by step to enter into what you have for us, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to look at gift inclinations. The three principal realities of ministry. Three realities in which your call is unveiled. First, in your character and your nature. Second, in accordance with the anointing that God imparts to you. And thirdly, in terms of the gift mix that God wants to develop in your life. Now, these things are things that grow in you. They are part of your covenant in God. And they are things that do not happen overnight. Your call in God develops forever. So don't think that you can walk into something right off the bat. You can't. You have to grow into it. That's why you must understand that there is something called a gift inclination that you have, which is actually an inclination towards a gift mix that God wants to build inside of you. I just want to talk about that inclination and how you need to understand that inclination. All right? So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 first. We're going to repeat passages that we have done before, but it's very important that we understand those passages, right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. The key word there is that grace is given according to the measure of Christ's gift. If we go back to John 1:16, it says, of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. We are saying that at the root of everything that you are going to realize in God is this reality called the fullness of Jesus Christ. You remember, you are a minister of the new covenant. You remember Exodus 31:18, that the tablets of your heart have to be written upon by the finger of God. You remember Exodus 32, verse 15 and 16, that the workmanship on those tablets is entirely the workmanship of God, and the writing is the writing of God. So your heart is where God is going to develop your gift mix from. Your heart is going to be where God is going to envelop your functions with the fatness of the anointing. And your heart is going to operate in the reality of your character and your nature. And that too, God is in the process of fashioning and forming in the image of Jesus Christ. So your gift inclination comes out of the measure of the fullness of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit is working into you, and it's a continuous growing process, all right? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I'm reading from the New American Standard. And it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, that is Jesus Christ. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. So out of the revelation of Jesus Christ comes the hope of his calling in your heart. As your heart puts on the light, and Jesus is the light of the world. I am the light, he said. He who follows me has the light of life. And that light of life in revelation knowledge and the revelation is of Jesus Christ, gives you the hope of His calling, the hope of His calling, the calling of Jesus Christ upon your life. And that calling is expressed in the gift mix that the Holy Spirit is going to develop inside of you. It is based on the character that the Holy Spirit is going to perfect into you. It's based on the anointing that the Holy Spirit is going to equip you with. And all that is of Jesus Christ. Can you see that? So your gift mix is not something you're going to know tomorrow morning. Your calling is not something you're going to know tomorrow morning. It's going to be something that is going to grow in you step by step by step by step into all eternity. Can you understand that? So many of us get very worked up because I don't know what I'm called to be. It's all right. It will take time, but it will come. Your focus should be on realizing the fullness of Jesus Christ, and the gift inclinations within you will start taking form. And those gift inclinations are what the Holy Spirit works into you in Jesus' name. Can you see that? It's very important that you understand that. When a prophet says you're something, it could be something that God wants to open in the immediate future, or it could be something in 20 years' time. So there are no shortcuts. You cannot hear the prophet's voice and say, I'm going to quit my job today because I'm called to be an apostle and go out. You're not going to be an apostle like that. It's going to be something, it's going to be manifested many years from now. God may start you off in ministry doing something else. Now, Stephen went into fivefold ministry and he started off by waiting on tables. Now, that's what you would think you would start off to go into a fivefold ministry. So this gift inclination is inside of you. You watch what is inside of you, because inside of you is where God is working with you. You are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is based on a relationship of a whole bunch of things that God is going to develop inside of you. And part of what God is going to develop inside of you is the genuine ministry that you have. All right? And you have a genuine ministry. You have a genuine ministry. But that genuine ministry has to come out of Jesus Christ. That's what you must understand. It must come out of Him. It is not something you can go into a Bible school and learn. You can't intellectually understand what your calling is. You can't. It's not in the intellect. It's in your heart. It is of the substance of Jesus Christ. So many people are operating in the church in things they are not called to do. So don't be in a hurry. God called you, He will make you the vessel. So wait. Wait until God tells you. God fashions your insight so that you will know, this is what I'm called to do. All right? So it's very important for you to understand that this gift inclination comes out of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is of the substance of His fullness. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. I want to start with this verse because it says that God has allotted to each a measure of faith, and that measure of faith is going to grow. And all of your judgment is going to be based on that measure of faith. What is faith? It is substance. Whose substance? The substance of Jesus Christ. Because Christian faith has to be built on Jesus Christ. How do you build Christian faith on Jesus Christ? Very simple. You always set your hope on Jesus Christ and what God has given to you in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Greater works than these will you do." It's not going to happen tomorrow morning, but it will come. You may not believe it, but it's going to come into every one of our lives. The Holy Spirit will take of mine, Jesus said, and he will disclose it to you. Jesus said, all that the Father has is mine. That is not just true for today, it's always going to be true. So when you're standing before God 1 million years from today, that which is of Jesus Christ is still going to be continued to be manifested to you by the Holy Spirit. Only thing, it will be manifested at a far higher realm than what you thought it was. But the same process is what God is doing. The blueprint is the fullness of Jesus Christ, because his fullness is to fill all in all. All right? His fullness is to fill all in all. You know the verses, right? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. What is the church? The church is the fullness of him who fills all in all. Who fills all in all. He fills all in all. Right? So you need to understand, all in all starts with inside of you first. So don't get worked up because you don't know something. Don't get worked up because, you know, you don't know where to go. It will come. Jesus is the way. Don't hurry about it because there ain't any other way. Your pastor is not going to be the way, ever. So if you sit down and talk to him for the next 20 hours, it doesn't mean you're going to learn anything. It has to be manifested by the Holy Spirit inside of you. And Jesus is the way. If something is not manifested from Jesus by the Holy Spirit into you so that it becomes the way, you don't know the way. It doesn't matter who you talk to. Can you understand that? Yeah. So it's a patient work, it's a real work, it's a genuine work, but it's an important work. It's all by substance. And the substance has an evidence, it's written. So if the substance is of Jesus, the evidence will be of Jesus. All of the callings in ministry are of Jesus Christ. Whether fivefold or whether believers' ministries, everything is of Jesus Christ. This is new covenant. New covenant is structured in Jesus Christ. It is not just structured on Elijah and Elisha and Moses. I hope you understand that. We are still talking old covenant. Oh, pastor, lay hands on me, and Lord, can you give me a double portion of the anointing? Everything is contained in Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Christ contains every conceivable anointing that God has for you in store in all eternity. Are you with me? He is the Anointed One. I'm not saying there are no double portions of the anointing. There are. But the anointing comes in the name of Jesus Christ. Please understand that. The calling comes in the name of Jesus Christ. The gifting is manifested in the witness and testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 4. Now all of us has been allotted a measure of faith, and we are supposed to evaluate the evidence of our faith based on sound judgment. Sound judgment. All right. Now let's look at verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. What is Paul saying? He's saying we are all members one of another. We function as a body. We complement each other. Yeah? And you must understand that. You don't know everything and you don't have everything, no matter how anointed you are, no matter how high the office in which you stand in is. It still involves a team, and we are members one of another. And the team is much more powerful than a super anointed individual. And just as we have many members in one body, why many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function? Why? So that the functions can complement each other. Yeah? So you have to realize what you are called to function in. And the evidence of your faith must define that function. And you must then understand that you are called to be part of a team. And when that team functions, we are all members one of another. I like that. It takes a lot of the pressure off. So many leaders crack up because they think the entire responsibility for the ministry is on their shoulders. It is not. God has made us a body. So function as a body. Function. Understand, if you are a pastor of a church, understand the skills of the people God has put in the church. So that you will have a church that is fully anointed and fully functional as members of one body. Don't sit there and pretend that everything is on you. That's foolish. If everything is on you, it's only a question of time before you crack up. No matter how gifted you are, you may be very gifted in the word of knowledge, but how far can you go with the word of knowledge, brother? You keep telling about what someone did in 1921. That's very nice for a particular moment in time, but you can't run a whole ministry on the word of knowledge talking about 1921. It's not going to be very practical, neither is it going to be very useful. Yeah, so in the same way, we need to understand where our limitations are. And we need to really see that cross-pollination of anointings and giftings in the church. Because that's how the church is strengthened. All right, so we have established certain things, right? The gift inclination within you is of the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And it's a consequence of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as that evidence of that inclination starts developing in you, you must understand it is going to be specific, it's going to be within certain boundaries. Ultimately, you have to learn how to function as part of a body of believers. It's very crucial to understand that. All right, let us cross-reference again. Just keep your finger on Romans. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man or to a perfect man. All right? Look at verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. So every joint has to supply. According to the proper working of each individual part. The proper working of each individual part. It is not just a handful of blokes trying to run a church. It has to be a total body. It is difficult for us. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. But if you understand it is the work of the Holy Spirit, then God knows what He is doing. So you do what you are called to do. Do it honestly in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Watch out for wolves in sheep's clothing. And then let the Lord do the necessary work amongst believers, and people will grow. They will make their mistakes, but we will learn from our mistakes. That's all right. And sometimes when we hear things about this went wrong and that went wrong, it doesn't faze me. That's all right. It's part of the learning process. But we must learn why something went wrong. And in that unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, we have to make the necessary corrections amongst ourselves. Correct? And then you learn. It's all right to make mistakes. As long as they are honest mistakes and not deliberately planned mistakes. So whenever there is a discussion of a problem that takes place, open your heart, because every one of us has got something to learn from it. It is not pointing to one person. Every one of us has something to learn from it. That's what it means to function in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We are all flawed individuals. There's plenty for us to learn. And good leadership is not about pointing fingers. Good leadership is encouraging people to learn from the past and go into the future that God has for them. Learn your lessons well. Don't repeat the same mistake over and over again. That is foolish. And that can become disastrous. But if you've made an honest mistake, that's all right. Oh, but something traumatic happened. That's okay. God's still in charge. You are still His chosen vessel. His calling on your life is still intact. God's not fallen off His throne. He's still your God and He's still your Father. Yeah? Yeah. So learn. He wants you to learn. Right? He wants you to learn continuously. He wants to teach you continuously. So in everyday life, God is teaching us. You get up in the morning and you blow your top with your spouse. Now when the whole thing is rectified, if you are sensitive to the Lord, you will have understood He would have taught you something through that. Some of us try to deal with all problems on a superficial level. That's sad. But if you deal with the roots of the problem, then you will mature and you will grow. And eventually those kind of problems won't happen again. But if they keep on happening, then you know that you're not dealing with the problem, you're just sweeping it under the carpet. It won't go away magically. Yeah? So this evidence of what God is doing with you is very important, because all of these things are part and parcel of God developing your gift inclinations. If you keep blowing your top, God is telling you that you have a problem with anger that has to be dealt with before He lets you go as a prophet, because otherwise you're going to be a very angry prophet, my friend. Every time something happens that you don't like, my goodness, you start prophesying. Death and damnation. So before that happens, the Lord wants you to deal with that. Okay, verse 6. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Now, according to the grace given to us tells us two things. There is a measure of grace and there are different types of grace. Why? Because grace operates through faith. And faith is substance. Of His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. the fullness manifests in substance according to your faith in Jesus Christ. But the whole thing functions in grace. But according to the substance that has been released into you, the grace goes according to the substance. So there are different kinds of grace and there are different measures of grace. And you have a gift. That gift is of Jesus Christ. That gift God wants to develop. How does that gift begin? It begins as an inclination towards something. I have a shepherd's heart. I care for people. That's a gift inclination. Now, for that gift inclination to properly develop, that gift inclination must be entirely of the substance of Jesus Christ. Now, in the natural, we may have a caring part to our nature. But that's not what God is talking about. He's talking about the caring nature that comes out of the heart of Jesus. Because the caring nature that comes out of the heart of Jesus is a perfect caring nature. Now, why am I saying that? Simply because you are a minister of the new covenant. And the new covenant is a construct of God. It is not a construct of man. Do you understand? You know, in many schools of thought in ministry, people take your natural inclination and they say, because you have this natural inclination, that's what God wants you to do. That's not really true. Because if you minister with your natural inclinations, it will come with all your natural flaws as well. Huh? So we are very nice to people who like whom we like. We are not so nice to people whom we don't like. Right? We are very nice to people who are in our own social strata. We are not very nice when we deal with people who are not of our own social strata. Have you noticed that? Yeah? We all have that problem. Jesus had no problem. Tax gatherer, Pharisee, king, prince, prostitute, he had no problems. Do you understand why you need the nature of Jesus Christ and not your nature? Correct? Because if we do ministry in our own character and our own nature, I'm talking in the long term, you know what comes with our character and our nature. We even discriminate in our own families. We discriminate with our own children. We discriminate with our own relatives, our own brothers and sisters. So if we are such people, how are we going to do the work of the ministry in the right way? So that's why it says you are ministers of the new covenant, and that new covenant is entirely the workmanship of God. Can you see that? Can you also understand why it is so necessary that it be so? So if you have been in a classroom in school, you will always know that the teachers always like the smart kids, the talented kids. And if you happen to be one of those kids who was not so good looking and not so smart and not so well dressed and very quiet, you tend to get ignored. Can you imagine if we were to build the kingdom of God on that basis? On the basis that since we all went through a schooling system and we either experienced teaching or we did teaching and we tried to teach people in the kingdom of God on that sort of a basis, do you know what kind of a lopsided system we will create? Correct? Yeah. Will it work? No, it won't work. So when God talks about teaching anointings, he's not talking about the secular teaching work. He's talking about something that comes out of Christ the teacher. Praise the Lord. So important to understand that. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. Prophecy is simply the spontaneous word, according to the proportion of his faith. Now, the spontaneous word is basic to everything that we do in ministry. Everybody, all of us have the capacity to talk. The word of God says that the word is in your mouth and in your heart. Paul writes in Corinthians that we should all desire to prophesy simply because we all have to learn how to speak what God wants to bring forth. You know, Peter said that we are all oracles of God. That's what it means to be ministers of the new covenant. You're going to speak the utterances of God, the New King James Bible says. The New King James says oracles. The New American Standard says utterances. But we all speak according to the faith that we have. That faith is of the substance of Jesus Christ. Can you see that? Because if we all were to speak spontaneously out of the substance of our own being, you know what happens, isn't it? Hello? You've seen prophetic things go wrong in church. Somebody gets up the wrong side of bed and they suddenly have a prophecy after worship. Boy, all the anger in hell opens out, right? Now thus says the Lord. And you're all going to hell today. Yeah? So we know what happens, right? So we need to have the character and nature of Jesus Christ. I'm just trying to get you to understand that it's so crucial that we understand that it's all according to the proportion of his faith. And that faith you have to judge and correct, because that faith is what is going to give you the inclination. Now, a teacher speaks spontaneously. A pastor can speak spontaneously. You give the word of God, a word of knowledge, you can speak spontaneously. You speak in tongues, you can speak spontaneously. You give an interpretation of tongues, you can speak spontaneously. So the ability to use your mouth is something that is there in so many different facets of ministry. You can counsel spontaneously. Yeah? You're operating a gift of faith, you can speak the words that will raise the dead. And that will also manifest in the gift of miracles. Yeah? So the mouth is very important, because the mouth gives credence to what God is manifesting spiritually. So you can lay hands on someone and speak something into that person, and the anointing will manifest according to the words you speak, provided you're called to stand in such an office. Yeah? All right. So the ability to speak according to the faith. And that faith comes out of Jesus Christ according to his call upon your life. Can you see that? So he's not strictly talking just about prophecy there. He's talking about the many different facets in which you use your mouth. He's just talking about using your mouth the right way. So if you intercede for someone, you're going to use your mouth and say things according to the proportion of your faith. You understand how important it is that you say the right words, correct? And that's why the substance has to be of Jesus Christ, because the right words can only come out of the substance of Jesus Christ. Can you see that? That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It cannot just be a mere human skill suitably anointed by God and being released. So you cannot just function in a gift theology. It has to come together with a consecration in the Lord. It is wrong for us to tell people in the church, just get the anointing, just get the gifting, and go and do your thing. That's very dangerous. Because that person must understand that his gifting and his anointing must be manifested in the name of Jesus. It must be unveiled in the testimony of Jesus. And at the end of it all, the growth of the ministry is measured by the measure of Christ's fullness that has been manifested in you. So you counsel someone. What did you tell them at the end of it all when you sit down and think about what you said? Did you speak that which is of God, or did you just add in a few things you thought would be a good idea? I thought this woman needs to be told a few things, so I will add some things and let her have it. This is my opportunity. That is not ministry. That is having your own way. And if you keep doing that, you're going to end up being a perfect witch. Oh, wizard, which one you like? Okay. So, if service, or in the King James it says, if ministry in his serving, right? So in ministry we serve, right? Now there are so many different kinds of ministries. Do you have an inclination to serve? All of us have an inclination to serve, but what kind of serving? A prophet serves in a specific way. He may be very corrective in his approach to ministry. Yet he is serving because he is bringing out the corrections that are needed for a person's life. A pastor, on the other hand, is more soothing in his ways of ministering. Right? Both are necessary parts of the ministry, but they are not the same parts. So if service, what kind of service are you called to do? Correct? And so, as the Lord builds you, He's going to build inside of you a desire to serve, right? To serve the way He wants you to serve. You understand that you have to receive it from the Lord because He's telling you what the ministry is. Huh? See, many people think, I do ministry because I like to do this. It's not about what you like to do. You must understand what God wants you to do. And some of the things God wants you and me to do, we may not necessarily like. There are things that we may not necessarily like. There may be aspects of our ministry that we don't like. But nonetheless, it is part and parcel of our ministry. Some people say they want to be pastors from the background. How do you be a pastor from the background? That's a ludicrous idea. I mean, how do you lead from the back? That may sound like a very humble statement, but it's a very foolish statement. Doesn't make sense at all. So you need to understand what your call is, and you need to move into it. All right. Or he who teaches in his teaching. There are many different levels of teaching, right? There is a fivefold office of the teacher, but a pastor also can teach. But he may not teach at the same level as a fivefold minister who teaches. There may be a prophet who teaches too, but the prophet will always teach in a different sense of the word. You are a Sunday school teacher, you teach too. You may be a youth minister who is counseling young people and you're teaching them about the facts of life, about how to handle the problems of life. That's teaching too. So the gift inclination to teach is not a small thing. And you may be very effective teaching children, but you may be absolutely useless teaching adults. On the same token, I may be very good teaching adults, but take me before children, I can be an absolute flop. I wouldn't even know what to say. And those kids will appear to be very, very intimidating to me. If I look at a 4-year kid and I say, oh my goodness, I'm supposed to teach this kid. Boy. That would be the hardest message for me to give. Yeah, so we all call to teach in different contexts, right? You may be sitting with the lady across the street having a cup of coffee, and you can teach that person things that you know. That's teaching. It doesn't mean you stand in the fivefold office of a teacher, right? So there is a gift inclination to teach. Now, how many of us here can teach? There is something you can teach somebody? Sure you can. You've been sitting at what level? But still it's teaching. Yeah? You've been sitting in church and you've been hearing and hearing and nothing has been entering inside. What you have learned from the Lord, you can teach. Yeah. Maybe not on a regular basis, but on a spontaneous basis. Maybe for a couple of weeks. Yes, you can do those things. Yeah. So you need to understand what is the inclination that you have. Or he who exhorts in his exhortation, encourages. The whole world needs encouragers. People who can speak the right word. Exhortation is part of prophecy. But everybody needs a good word. Everybody needs to know that God has something for them. So all of us are equipped to exhort people. Haven't you got a heart? Haven't you been blessed by the Lord? If you have been blessed by the Lord, haven't you got something nice to say to somebody? Yeah? So as you grow and you mature in your relationship with the Lord, exhortation is there. Now, these are things that have got nothing to do whether you're in the fivefold or whatever. Everybody has a gift inclination to do these things. Yeah? Okay. Can you begin to see that you have got a lot of things going for you already? All right. Praise the Lord. Lessons you have learned in your own life. That's why the Bible is structured as a testament. Right? So you've gone through hardships in your life. What was God trying to tell you? Was he trying to watch you wriggle as a worm over the fire? No, he was trying to teach you something so that you can teach somebody or you can reach out and encourage somebody at the right time. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He who gives with liberality. Right? All of us have the capacity to give. We can give of ourselves. We can give of our earthly goods. We can give of our time. We can give of our love. So many things to give. We can give of our ears. Some people just need a listening ear. So many people have got nobody to talk to. If you are just willing to sit down and talk with somebody or listen to somebody talk and then find an opportunity to pray the right words or to say the right words into that person's life, brother, you have a ministry. Go to the nearest old folks' home. There's so many people there who have got nobody to listen to them. You don't have to go to graduate school to know how to talk to another human being. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So gift inclinations, powerful things. He who gives with liberality, right? Now if you take that anointing to give, right? You can have people who can finance entire ministries. On the other hand, you can have people who can give of themselves in a prayer closet and pray entire ministries into being. Hello. Just out of sheer desire to see God bring his kingdom on earth. The capacity to give. You're anointed. Are you willing to give of the anointing that God has put on you? When you preach, when you teach, when you pray, are you interested in people receiving of the anointing that God has given you? Do you have such an intention in your heart? Are you there just to impress people? If you are impressed, you're going to impress people, everybody will be amazed at you and they will receive nothing from you. And there are lots of people who minister like that. Sad, isn't it? Freely we have received, freely give. If you sit down and talk with me, you will understand. I keep repeating that over and over again. Freely you have received, freely give. Why do you want to hold back? He who leads with diligence. We all have a capacity to lead. Sometimes you have to lead in order to wash the toilets too. Because nobody wants to do it. Sometimes there's a fellowship meeting and somebody just takes a leadership position, goes to the kitchen and starts washing up while everybody else is fellowshipping. I call that leadership. I'm sure it is leadership that God recognizes. You know, because God can transfigure you into a position in very powerful ways in very short periods of time, sometimes even instantaneously. He who leads with diligence, perseverance. Leadership doesn't drop out of the sky. We are all called to lead. Sometimes we are called to cover up the flaws in somebody else's leadership. There are no perfect pastors around. If you're looking for one, you ain't going to find one. So if you're a responsible member of the church, you just cover up for your pastor's flaws. If you see things that he is not doing the right way, or you see things that he's looking tired, it is because he's probably not praying enough. So can you stand in the gap? That willingness in that man's heart to sit down and pray, to spend time with the Lord, create in him that desire. Are you willing to spend time and pray for that? That's leadership. That's why it's leadership with diligence. Because leadership is not standing at the front and looking pretty and shouting out orders. So much of leadership is done when you decide that this needs to be done in the ministry and you stand in the gap and you pray. Or you see something is not right, you just go and quietly do it. Some people only do things if they get recognition for it. I don't call that the hallmark of a leader. There are many leaders in the world who are leaders simply because they want to stand in the limelight. Have you seen how the Holy Spirit operates? He will take of mine and disclose it to you. The Holy Spirit is God. This is a person of God who takes something of another person of God and he does it. And he gives the glory to him. Isn't it amazing? Yet the Holy Spirit is involved in every facet of leadership in the entire body of Christ. Amazing. Yeah, amazing. So leadership with diligence. And there are so many different kinds of leadership. Can you see that you have a ministry already? That God has already put many things inside of your heart. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. I mean, do you have to get a college degree to show mercy? What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5? Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Right? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So, you want to be blessed? Many people want to be blessed. Show mercy. So many people need mercy with cheerfulness. Don't sit down and mourn over a person's mistakes. So show some mercy and show them the way out of it. Talk about how the Lord delivered you so that that person can see that God is a merciful God, that he's not waiting there with a sledgehammer to bash your head inside out. You know, so many people think that God is waiting there with a sledgehammer. Every time you make a mistake, he's going to slam your head. That's why they don't want to come to church. Why? Well, come to church, I've got to give up this, give up that, give up that, and give up that, and give up that. Of course, he's not going to come to church. He looks at all that and he says, I can't do it. Then he comes to church and the Christians say, you must give up this. Well, you're still carrying your cigarettes around. You must give this up now. So tomorrow, he doesn't come anymore. Right? Because you've got no mercy on him. Did God deal with you like that? Because God's demand is that you be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So if he demanded that of you right now, how many of us will be in church? And how many of us do you think will be in hell? I think it will be fair to say all of us. So if the perfect God who is sinless doesn't deal with you like that, have mercy. Because without mercy, we are dead. Praise the Lord. Let love be without hypocrisy. Can you love? Without hypocrisy. What is love? What is agape? Unconditional love. Can you love somebody who needs that love, even though they have got so many flaws in their character? Are you willing to pray for that person on a sustained basis? You know, that's where the real ministry is done. When individuals touch individuals' lives, that's where the real issues of life are dealt with. How do you deal with your own spouse? How do you deal with members of your own family? Your brothers and your sisters. Let love be without hypocrisy. God loves me, but I'm not sure he loves you. Because you are such a terrible fellow. You're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing the other. I, on the other hand, God loves me. Because Jesus died for me. I'm not sure he died for you though. Huh? Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Is that a ministry? Yes, it is. Dealing with evil. How do you deal with evil? Some of us are called to tell people that that is evil. Some of us are called to pray evil out of other people's lives, right? Gift inclinations. Powerful. Can you imagine that abhorring evil is so important for the fivefold ministry? That if you want to stand in high office, you have to abhor evil. You've got to have nothing to do with evil. You cannot compromise with evil. That the love of money is the root of all evil. Cling to what is good. Teach people how to cling to what is good. Pray that people will cling to what is good. Pray that your pastors will cling to what is good and not be tempted by what is evil. Don't just assume that because he's a pastor, he should know good from right from wrong. It doesn't necessarily work like that. Some issues are very hard to see, especially when your flesh wants something, you know. You know, we can only see good if God inspires that inside of us. I'm so convinced of that. All of us have a propensity for corruption. That's why we all need help. That's why you need to pray for me too. Seriously. Don't just assume. Nothing works by assumption. Yeah. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Is that ministry? Yes. How much we need brothers in the church. And how difficult it is sometimes to find them, isn't it? Hello. You have people who will say, hi, 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 praise the Lord. How are you today? That you can find by the millions. But when you are in trouble, boy, nobody wants to know you anymore. Can you imagine what Mary Magdalene felt and how Jesus reached out to her? Can you imagine what an impact he had on her that she was willing to anoint his feet with her hair in public in the midst of people who despised her? How he must have touched her. Amazing person, Jesus Christ. That's why you need his substance to be able to love. He was a true brother. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Devoted? Are you devoted to your ministry? In brotherly love? Or are you doing a job? Or are you just exercising a gift or exercising an anointing? That's sad. Because so many people just exercise a position or exercise authority or exercise an anointing or exercise a gifting. And that's sad. We should care about how people are realizing what God has for them. Give preference to one another in honor. What does that mean? There are sometimes you have to step out of the way so that there will not be conflict. That doesn't mean we don't address issues. But there's a right way to address issues and there's a wrong way. Did you ever think taking a back seat is a ministry? Sometimes you have a difficult husband and you have to take the back seat while you pray for him. While he runs around like a bull in a china shop, right? Thinking he knows everything and he's got absolute authority. How many men are like that? Or sometimes it's the husband and he sits with a wife who knows absolutely everything. She never stops talking. She makes every blooming decision, because if she does not make the decision, all hell is going to break loose in the house. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Ultimately, everything in ministry is serving the Lord. We do something for somebody because we are serving the Lord. Our rewards come from the Lord. If you can understand that simple thing, you will grow wonderfully. And you will find so much of fulfillment in ministry, because the Lord will bring that fulfillment into your life. So we are going to stop there for a little for today. Not because we've covered the whole list of what kind of ministry inclinations there are. There are probably an infinite number of ministry inclinations or gift inclinations. Because there are so many. If you take faith and you put it on prophecy and then you put it on leadership, you've got a whole mix of things, right? So the gift inclination is a very complex thing. That's why it is engineered by God. Can you understand that? It has to be engineered by God, because it has to be manifested in the truth. So, you know, if you're worried about what am I called to do, the answers will manifest inside of you. Meanwhile, you do what you do. What do you need to do as a member of the body of Christ? Hear the word of God, understand the word of God. Why? Because through the word of God, God will manifest the substance of Jesus Christ. That process must always be there. That process must never stop. How do you answer your call? Very simple. Hear the word of God, understand the word of God, and walk into the word of God, and eventually you will know exactly what you need to do. You will see that a lot of gift inclinations are basic common sense stuff, which anyone who understands the word of God will know. Somebody is lonely, somebody needs a listening ear. You give them the listening ear. You may be called to be an apostle, but that listening ear is going to mold and shape your character. You may think it's a small thing. You may think it's a small thing. Why did the apostles lay hands on 8 blokes and ask them to wait on tables? Because that waiting on tables was going to mold their character for what they were going to become when they stood in high office. So when Stephen was being stoned, what did he say? Oh Lord, don't hold this sin against them. Can you see that? Where do you think that process of molding to say that came from? From the things that were seemingly very simple. From the things that were seemingly unimportant. So if you are called to seemingly do something that is unimportant, don't think that your ultimate calling in God is unimportant. It doesn't follow like that. It doesn't follow like that. All right? Because sometimes we come to the Lord a little bit late in life, right? That doesn't mean we have missed the boat. Thank God there is an age to come. Thank God there's an age to come. Even after our marriage to the Lamb, there are going to be nations to be healed. How do you like that? Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you, Lord, for the gift inclinations that you are developing in us in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And precious Holy Spirit, we thank you that everything that is being fashioned and formed inside of us is your painstaking workmanship, Lord. So often we take you for granted. We don't even recognize you sometimes. But Lord, you are teaching us out of your own ministry how we should in turn minister to others, Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the spirit of humility, and we pray that you will enable us in turn to function in the spirit of humility. That we will learn, O God, to serve the Lord our God and not expect, O God, the rewards of man. So, Lord, you are our provider. You are the one who recognizes what we do. And what you recognize will continue to bear fruit in our lives forever. Because when you reward, it's in a continuum, Lord. It is not something that is static. It is not something confined to space and time. When you bless us with something that will continue in all eternity. And that's why if we are wise, Lord, we will look to you as our provider. We will look to you as our blesser. We will look to you as the rewarder of our faith, Lord. Because when you reward us, you will reward us with substance. And that substance is indestructible. That substance will have an evidence that will stand and grow forever. And that's why we need to be alive to serving you and nothing else, Lord. We don't serve an institution. We don't serve, O God, any other form of reality except the living God. And as we serve you, O God, we will know, O God, how to deal with each other and how to be able, O God, to give and take, O God, in our relationships with each other. As you teach us how to appreciate each other's gifting, each other's anointings, and each other's calling. As we appreciate each other's character and nature. As we realize, O God, the different facets in which, O God, you have molded each one of us. We will begin to understand that there is so much, O God, that can be achieved when brethren dwell together in unity. So come, Holy Spirit, and unite us in the faith of Jesus. unite us in the substance of His fullness and manifest the substance of His fullness in the love that He expressed for us on the cross, so that we will, in the character and nature of Jesus Christ, become the perfect instruments of faith that You want us to be, perfect instruments of love that You want us to be, perfect ministers of a perfect covenant given to us grace upon grace, in the fullness of Him who fills all in all. We bless You, Father. We thank You for speaking to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.